It is time now for the other side. We've got Ashley Campbell, Orange County Conservative, here joining us in the studio on a week when it's not the other side. We're basically talking about the same thing, and we're kind of all on the same page. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
I'm good. So lighter note, as we're getting ready for the hurricane, are you hearing from your friends and family in areas like way far away from the path of the hurricane with things like, you know, you're going to need batteries, right?
Oh, yeah, sure. It's funny. I actually found out about the hurricane from one of my friends who used to live in Hillsborough, now lives in Texas, and said on a Facebook post, thinking of all you guys back in North Carolina. And I was like, why? Because there's a tremendous hurricane that's about to crash upon our shore. So that was good to know. And then,
Wait, how long ago did you have this conversation? This was like on your way in here, was it?
No.
Okay.
No, this was, what's today, Tuesday? Probably Sunday. I know, that is really terrible, but I don't have cable, so I guess I don't check.
That's fair.
The weather, see if it's gonna rain, but yeah, you know.
I guess it's like I work in news, so like you gotta be like following. But yeah, it's difficult. I mean, this is the thing that has come up in the past, and this has come up on a number of different issues, just how removed we often are from local news, right? Like,
yeah.
To the point where like, we focus so heavily on national news and what's going on in Washington, D.C. And we talk about it in terms of, oh, God, it's so sad that we don't know what's going on with the town council or county commissioners.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes we don't know when a hurricane's coming either, and that's a problem.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. You know, 'tis the season. So between now and, November 1st? I should be paying more attention. But now I know, and now for the past few days I've spent just going through things in my head, like, what do we need to secure outside?
Mm.
I have chickens, you know, how am I supposed to deal with that? We haven't had a serious, you know, natural disaster since I started having those. So, you know, and I have cats that are indoor, outdoor. What are they going to do? It's all sorts of questions.
You got to bring those indoors, though, right?
Yeah, I hope they'll all come inside.
Right.
Long story, I guess, but one of them's kind of not feral, a little skittish.
Okay.
So hopefully he will come in and we can keep him inside during the storm.
What are you going to do with the chickens? Because this is a question that I fortunately don't have, but you have chickens. I have friends who have chickens.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of people in the area who keep chickens, and that's one of the animals that they're not taking at the shelters in case you need to go. So, what do you do with them?
Yeah, they aren't allowed, but I guess fortunately our coop is pretty sturdy.
Okay.
So we might have to nail the doors shut. I was just thinking about that. But other than that, I think it will be okay.
Yeah.
We'll just remove anything out there that could possibly blow into it, or, you know, hopefully no tree branches will fall on it or anything.
Right.
But as far as that goes, it's just hoping for the best.
A lot of it is just crossing your fingers, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Have you been through anything like this? I have not, so.
I mean, there are plenty of hurricanes when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in Alamance County, so we were affected by Hurricane Hugo. I think that came through when I was about five. And Fran, of course, but I only sort of vaguely remember those. I don't think that there are any really devastating effects, but from what people have said about Fran in Hillsborough, people had their power out for a week. I think that was pretty much average. So I'm hoping maybe the system has improved since then, or it won't be as devastating, or hopefully we won't have power out that long in Hillsborough time around.
Yeah.
But we're all preparing.
Speaking with Ashley Campbell, the other side, do we have to fight politically about something this week, or?
Well, I did think of one thing.
Okay,
just
I've got
in case.
One thing too, so.
Just in case we did want to fight about something, because something that always comes up during natural disasters is the governor announced a state of emergency a few days ago, I think on the 7th.
Yeah.
So we're already in that.
Right.
And when there's a state of emergency, price gouging laws go into effect.
Yes.
And in North Carolina, well, North Carolina is amongst a majority of states that have price gouging laws. And basically, I'm against I'm against them. And North Carolina's is pretty broad. It's I just have the law here, but it pertains to anything that preserves, protects, sustains life, health, safety, or economic well-being of persons or their property. That's pretty broad, and it also includes any party in the chain of distribution, from the manufacturer, supplier, wholesaler, distributor, or retail seller of goods or services. So basically, during a state of emergency, no one is allowed to sell or rent anything for, you know, higher than what the normal market price, all things being normal, would be. Even though, you know, during a disaster like this, there are goods and services that are going to be scarce. So the scarcity in a market situation would make
increase
those prices
cost,
go
yeah.
higher. So I kind of view them in the same way that I do blue laws. For example, you can't sell liquor on Sunday, or you know, because it's a law that puts government between people who want to enter into a transaction to buy something that would benefit them, even though, you know, they might grumble about the cost and they don't want to pay $5 for a bottle of water. It's better, I would argue, than not having the water there at all. But those caps on pricing, you know, actually lead to scarcity because of these laws like this, because there are serious punishments for breaking these laws. I mean, you know, for example, I don't know if this has happened in North Carolina, but in other states and other hurricanes and whatnot, things like this have happened. Like, instead of gas stations running at a loss, because, you know, to them, they're going to have to absorb an increased cost in just getting the gas there to the pumps, they'll shut down. So people are left without any gas at all,
right,
instead of paying, you know, a dollar more per gallon, for an example.
And we are kind of seeing that around. I mean, there's already reports of, like, widespread reports of gas stations that are kind of running out of gas. As someone who once screamed obscenities out the window at a random gas station that I drove by 2 days before Katrina hit, when we were living 8 states away from any state that was affected by that storm. I sympathize, because you're right. I mean, the price gouging laws do oftentimes lead to scarcity. We're seeing this now, A, with gas stations, and B, with bottled water flying off the shelves, right? Like, people who may not necessarily need bottled water are going and buying it, and people who need it are going and not necessarily finding it. My only worry with that is the same kind of worry that I have with any item of necessity, right? Like anything like necessary food or water or shelter or medicine or anything like that, that if you let the market set the price, then the demand is going to go down as the price goes up, in the same way that the supply goes up as the price goes up. And there's going to be those people on the left side of that supply demand X, right? That you see. That left triangle is all of the people who would need these necessary goods, who are not going to buy them at the price that they're set at, either because they decide they can get it from somewhere else or they don't need it that badly, or because they do need it that badly and they can't afford it.
Right.
And that's one thing when it's like $6 for a gallon of water or $5 for a gallon of gas. But as soon as you start seeing that price going up and up and up even more, then you're going to have people getting kind of run under who actually do need it and just can't afford it.
But you may not see the price continue to increase because, you know, price is a signal. So, you know, for example, if somebody wanted to go down to the coast and take a bunch of generators that he bought from here at Home Depot or whatever and sell them at a markup to people, you know, closer to where the damage is going to be more severe and their power more likely to be out for longer. And all the stores are, you know, they've already sold out all their generators. But the people who haven't prepared up to this point, it would give them a choice or a chance to prepare. And because this person is bringing a product to them and it may be worth it to them to purchase it for an increased price. But also in addition to that, you know, if this person is successful and, you know, these days there are ways to find that out pretty much instantaneously. I mean, there are apps for this. There's, you know, all sorts of social media and whatnot that people can find out. But more people would be like, hey, well, I want to make some money and go and sell some generators. And but then that increases the supply. So he's not going to be able to demand, the original guy, I mean, is not going to be able to demand, you know, such a high cost if the supply increase, because that high price signal attracts other people who want to make some money as well. So there's that part of it too. I mean, that's something that wholesalers actually do in disasters as well, that, you know, laws like this discourage them from moving goods to areas where disasters have happened, where the people need things more, like bottled water. I mean, they could sell them, you know, it's just a slight, I mean, we're not even talking, you hear the words price gouging and you think like, oh, they're charging five times more than what it's worth. It's not necessarily the case. But because, you know, a price increase is basically not allowed, you know, they're not going to shift their distribution to an area where the things are needed more. So, I mean, that's another negative consequence. And I know that these laws are enacted because it's supposed to increase, like, a civic virtue and sort of like a common good kind of a feeling. But I don't see the evidence that having laws like this actually makes
I don't know
that
if it increases
happen.
Civic virtue. I think it's based on the assumption that there's not going to be civic virtue, right? That you're not going to have people who, out of the goodness of their heart.
Well, yeah, but what? Okay, so, I can see what you're saying there, but at the same time, you know, it's just funny how we think about these things, because, you know, as you said, people are buying out all the water at the store. Mm-hmm. All the bread is gone. And
the bread is still there, which is good, because the bread's going to go bad before did you not have
it
bread?
It was all gone.
Oh, was it?
I mean,
I went over
to
Harris Teeter, and what's gone is water and peanut butter.
I got some peanut butter, too.
Yeah, I got peanut butter yesterday. That's probably why it's gone today.
Right, yeah. Yeah, but I think they're still restocking everything locally.
Even if
people haven't gone, you know, don't panic.
They still have time.
Still available. Yeah. They'll still
and,
be another
And the
truck.
Taps still work, which is the other kind of twist to the water side. Like, the water scarcity is that we don't have water scarcity right now.
We don't really
right
have
now.
To deal with that.
We might if the infrastructure fails with flooding and down trees and things like that. But power goes out, the water still works. So you can fill up containers with tap water and be okay.
At least in the cities. Yeah. If you have a well, you have to worry about those
things.
Well's
a different thing. Speaking with Ashley Campbell, we got to wrap up in just a minute, but final thoughts. Mine to fight with was the fact that the FoxNews.com homepage has been putting a piece on Benghazi higher on the page than Hurricane Florence news all freaking day long.
Really?
Yeah.
Benghazi, not even 9/11?
Yeah, like, not even. I mean, 9/11, yes, and also Benghazi. What is it now? Right now the top story on their homepage is leaked email shocker about how some Google employees were going back and forth about how they were trying to increase the Latino vote in 2016.
Okay.
But fortunately, Hurricane Florence is now number two, so.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, I guess they have the whole country to provide news for. But I would have thought that, I don't know. It just seems like there's more important use to report. I'll agree with you there.
We got to wrap up. But Ashley Campbell, thank you for joining us. Stay safe.
Thank you.
Good
you
luck
too.
With the chickens and the cats
thank
and
you.
Literally everything else.
Yeah. Thanks so much.
And we'll talk to you soon.